You're right with your neighbor. You're going to be right with the principal. You're going to be right with people you don't agree with politically.
I was thankful for to see people. You're still my friend. Yes, please still be friends. Craziest. I mean, my wife's done doing Patrick Club tonight. Her dad is, I mean, he's so far one way. And then the neighbor growing up was so far there. They're the best friends. I mean, it was like one of the most interesting things to me, you know, because, you know, it's like my dad can never do that. You know, but I just know that. But I just always thought that is so cool. They really need something. They call the other guy or got an idea. They would talk and, you know, he'd sit and argue about some things, but I mean, still get along with these people. So I went to the Lord. I mean, try to, you know, that's not a, but it's the righteousness and being right with God. And, some people don't see the need to think from that position. Like, why do you think the way we do? Because we have God and He has the Word. I mean, that's like the basis of it. Otherwise, we would be where everybody else is and it's, you know, looking out for number one. When you look out for number one, everything's on the table. I mean, nothing is like, well, that's a crazy idea. No, not really, if you're looking out for number one. But if you're looking out for God and His interests, and we see what God says about taking care of poor people, what God says about taking, I mean, wouldn't it be a shock if the government came out and said, churches, you need to do your job and take care of some of these people in your neighborhood. They'd be like, what? You're not supposed to talk about these things in the government. You're not supposed, I mean, and that's where we're at. I mean, that'd be a big spanking on both sides. It's like, look, this is what we're supposed to do. And, but no, people have been saying, no, you don't reach out to the church. You reach out to, you know, big brother. You reach out to God. I mean, that's what, you know, so we're messed up that way. We come from God's word and we say, boy, because God's righteous. Our righteousness we receive from Him. We have none of our own. We get it from Him. He gives it to us. The Bible says it's imputed unto us, Romans 4. And when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, He gives us this righteousness. Does not make us better than anybody else. It's just it's a part that He gives us. You're not going to go out and grab it. You can't. It's not something you can put in your pocket. It's what you are. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we should be to the glory of God who first trusted in Christ, that we should be that. It's not something you're going to grab. It's something that you are, and you don't make yourself that. He gives that to you. 64 and 65, it finishes up talking about the remnant that's going to be found in Israel. There are similarities to, you know, you can say, you know, us, we're the remnant, we're the last, we're the this or that. There is a lot of people in this nation that love the Lord. Don't ever doubt that. I mean, it'd be impressive just to see. I mean, it's true. Anytime the devil says, oh, you're the last one, it's not true. It is not true in the world. A lot of people love Jesus around this world. It's just amazing going places where you're not from and seeing people that love. It's a humbling thing. I am sought, verse 1 of 65, I am sought of them that asked not for me. Okay, the Gentile people, and boy, we want what God has often. The Jew today may be saying, no. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. The Bible says in Romans 12, by the renewing of our mind. It said, well, I just don't think the way the Bible thinks. The Bible's old. The Bible's this. The Bible's that. I'm telling you, the Word of God is powerful. It will change how you think, if you will think on it and be exposed. It'll change you. Change the way you think. It'll change the way you think about people. I mean, just caring for people, it will help you do that if you'll give it that chance. I've been challenged by many a Mormon. You know, Keith, you just got to open up your heart and let it in. I was like, it's not powerful, man. Plagiarism's not powerful. Hey, man. That's an inside joke. It's just not, right? It's not the Word of God. It will not change you like the Word of God can. This is a rebellious people, the Bible says. and they're after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger, continually, the Bible says, to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Now, they're supposed to be offering sacrifices, were they not? But they're supposed to be in the temple. They're supposed to be offering. I mean, God had a whole system set up for them to do that. They were doing their own thing, where they wanted, what they wanted. The Bible says, which remain among graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things, is in their vessels. They had food code. They were supposed to stick by the Old Testament. They were breaking those things. And it was a whole list of things God asked of his people. And verse 5 is our main verse tonight. Verse 5 and verse 16. Which say, stand by thyself. Okay, these people that are rebellious, these people that provoke God to anger continually, the Bible says, to his face, that engage in sacrifices and in doing different things God told them not to do, strictly told them not to do. Verse 5 says, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier. There it is, right? Holier than thou, right? How many ever heard that, right? You think you're holier than that. This is what I'm talking about. What I'm doing is right. What you're doing, you just keep doing. And boy, people pick up on that. I don't know why. That's just something they can pick. Oh, you think you're better than us. You think you're this. You think you're that, right? Holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Smoke, it's not fun to get smoke in the face, right? Your campfire turns around and gets you, and you're just like, oh, you're running to the other side. You want to get to that coal stage where it's just hot and there's no smoke and it's just going up. Not everybody's getting smoked out. You get that in the nose. The Bible says it stinks. There's smoke in my nose. Behold, it is written before me, verse 6, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities, the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Well, we got generational problems, right? Dad wasn't doing right. Grandpa wasn't doing right. How do you change something that's been generational? Someone got to stand up and say, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to dare to be Daniel and be different. I can't help what's going on in the past. I love my dad. I love my grandpa, but man, I'd be scared to go back and look at everything. Like, wow, really? Man, that's not so great. And say, well, that was really great. Let's take it. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you can't say, well, I'm just stuck here because that's what I'm from. No, I'm gonna change this. Me and God. God's going to help me. We're going to change. I don't even know what I'm doing. I love hearing first-generation Christian testimonies. It's always a mess, right? Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know, but somebody took the time and loved on them and brought them along, and pretty soon, there's a little kid following them, and then the next group, and then the next generation's in church. How does all somebody saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do it. Here we have those who say, well, this is what they did. This is what they did. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I'll bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And my elect shall inherit it, my servant shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herbs to lie down in for my people that have sought me. One of the names for the Lord is the Rose of Sharon. You find roses on the mountaintops? No, they're down the valley, right? And so that's the description. But he's looking for somebody that will dwell with him. He's looking for somebody that's going to stick with him. When there's a remnant, that when we were in chemistry in college, you get this bottle of solution, you know, you'd have these different things in there, and you'd end up with, after a reaction, an aqueous reaction, end up with precipitate. It's always down at the bottom. Mrs. Gunner makes the kombucha, and, you know, you get the bottle out, or whether it's the store, and the thing says at the top, shake, well, right? Because you look at the bottom, and there's all that stuff at the bottom, right? And you're just like, well, I don't know, I'm going to shake it up. It's just a little tiny part, right? It's all a part of the whole thing, but it's this little part at the end. And this remnant that wants to follow God, they're a part of this big group, but man, they're just a little part. They're just a little part. You never have to worry about, well, there's a bunch or there's a little. The Bible says there'll always be a remnant. Always will be a group of people that love the Lord and will be found of Him, and He will bless. And that's why you say, well, as Americans, again, we are in such a unique situation, right? The Russian Christian doesn't sit where we sit today. Everybody else is on. It would be interesting to be in other countries and just see how they are right now, right? Because like so much of what their stuff depends on is what we do. Like, are we going to keep doing this or keep doing that or whatever, you know? And then, I mean, trying to be like, yeah, we want that other guy, man. It's better for us, right? And, you know, and somebody else said, well, what are they going to do? Or, you know, is the military going to leave here? Or what's going to happen? But we can sit here even as, you know, if we were a small group and say, you know what? We have the Lord. We have the Lord. It is okay. It is okay. We can just get, and I, you know, I said, you look at stuff, you're like, man, I wish, man. Me too. Yeah, I get disappointed too. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a bummer. Right? I was really drawn into numbers that I like. I just like numbers. So I look at, you know, at one of the guys I was watching, he's comparing 16 numbers to 2020 numbers. And I was just saying, it was impressive to me to see the amount of turnout in comparison to 4 years ago and how similar they were in some places. You know, like numbers like 700,000 being 700,000 just in different order and stuff. I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, that's great. That's what you'd expect. Right? The same amount of people there, the same amount. Some things were super interesting. You would think that, you know, putting a border up and a wall up and doing things would make maybe Hispanic voters not as happy about having, no, they like it. They're talking about some of the counties, the southernmost counties flipping way huge coming to the table. Why? Because they have a place to work. It's not that we're against it. We want people to work. And it's almost like we got a group that's saying, no, don't work, right? And that's the socialism thing. It's just like, don't work, we'll take care of you. No, no, you need to work. And that's all they want. Give me a shot to work. Just give me a shot at it. I mean, that's all we've been saying during this whole thing. Just give us a shot to work. No, we're going to stay closed. We'll take care of you. It'll be fine. Well, he won't because we won't and all this stuff, right? Mindset. But now we have the Lord. We have the Lord. Will we dwell with him? The Bible asks us that question here on the mountains. In the valley, the Bible says in verse number 11, but ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget his holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear. But did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. God has stuff that he delights in. He delights in people that listen to his word. You just got to be patient with people until God works in their hearts. I mean, I wish I could work in people's hearts. Yeah. Your kindness can be seen. But things that God does, that is a supernatural thing. And again, I go back to the poor post office, right? Would you want to work for them today? No. Or yesterday or any, you know? No. So I'd be super kind to them, right? But they have to deliver whether it's good, bad, or ugly, right? And we have to deliver whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And then we let God do the work. The Bible says they did evil before mine eyes. You wouldn't want God looking down on your evil. There's no way you'd say, well, I'm just going to do it. I don't care if God's what. Those people don't believe that he is, right? That's just the reason for it. They don't believe that he is. They do not believe that he's going to do anything because they don't believe he's there. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 13,
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. It's good to be a servant of the Lord.
It's serving the Lord. Okay? I mean, it's good. It's a blessing to do that. He takes care of you. He loves us. He watches over us. He meets our needs. It is a promise in Scripture. Always, always, always. And that doesn't matter what country you live in. It is a promise. You serve the Lord. God is going to take care of us. Verse 14, behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. It's going to be on the inside, right? It's going to show on the outside, right? And it starts on the inside. And it's going to, that's the work that God does, the joy of the heart, because God's done a work where? In the heart. He's done a work in your heart. It's going to show. You know, you look at some stuff and, oh man, work on your countenance. But boy, don't forget your joy. Don't forget what the Lord has done. And you get away from the Lord and you get away from your Bible reading, and all of a sudden it's like the world. It's just like the black cloud. When I grew up, there was one of the cartoons was the Winnie the Pooh. And Eeyore, I love Eeyore. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. Right? So I don't know if it's politically correct to take like tails with nails in them and just go pounding them into animals. But anyway, now Eeyore would be like, man, his tail fell off. Oh, his tail caught on something. I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. Can't take this overseas. I don't know what you're talking about. Right? Hell, Eeyore is a tail, right? Lost my tail. You know. Oh. Yeah, you know, I got friends that I'll say, come on, Eeyore, let's go. You know. Oh, and everything be good. A little tiny black cloud comes and just sits right over Eeyore, right? Everywhere else is sunny. Oh, rain again. You know, it's like, come on, man, right? You can get that way. We get away from God. We get that old Eeyore complex. And then it's like, oh, man. It's like, no. Just that. That's what spirits are. Spirits are like that. They're like clouds. There's no weight to them. They just come and they just like sit on something. I'm like, man, what's the deal? Man, you're contentious. You're angry. You're bitter. You're this. You're that. It's like, just like, you know, you're like, blow that cloud out of there, right? You're looking out the valley and be like, wow, they're dumping rain right there, but not over there, right? It says, well, that thing dumped. Get out of here. Get our attitude right. Where's our joy? What's going on with our heart? Well, this spirit came in and this is kind of, right? And when our spirit, I mean, it can be changed. And boy, then we can make some crazy decisions. But if a heart that should be, I mean, if God's just ruling in the heart, then we should be able to say, you know what? Nah, that's the wrong spirit. That's the wrong attitude about that thing. Right? I mean, you fight hard to have the right attitude at times. You know, it's hard. That's a lot of work. That's what Christianity is. I have the right attitude. That's what determines whether you're going to win or not. Whether you won or not. Did I have a good attitude about things? No, my attitude stunk. Preacher, get your attitude fixed. It stinks. I don't know. I got to fix that, right? Get it fixed, and then we can do something. The Bible tells us here, we'll be rewarded as his servants. Our hearts full of joy. The Bible says, you shall cry for sorrow of heart, shall howl for vexation. It's not fun being vexed. It's not fun. It is not fun. Vexed is like a continual torment. It's like a chafing that you can't get comfort for. It's just an abrasion. It is just, it's bad, 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 right? But if it's in the spirit, what do you think it do to your health? What do you think somebody look like that's vexed health-wise? Think there's just a picture of health? No, they got all kinds of problems, right? Because they're vexed spiritually. They got issues. Oh, you got to figure out what's the problem. What is this thing that is just getting at you? And you know, could be a host of things. It could be a simple thing. It could be one thing. It could be angry. It could be bitter about something. Whatever it is, but the Bible says they shall howl for vexation of spirit. You shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee. Shall call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. God of truth. We'll bless ourselves there. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid
from mine eyes. Now 16, you can take that to be the person. You can take that to be the Lord himself, blessing himself in himself and swearing by himself. He says, I'm going to do it. And there's nobody else that said in God's name. He says, I'm going to do it. It's the same thing. And Matthew 5, 6, 7, the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He's not asking us to say, well, you know, in God's name, I'm going to do it. No, just say you're going to do it, you know, and that's enough. And that's not, we're not contradicting scripture there. But if he's saying, I'm going to do it, it's going to be done. It's going to happen. We want to be found in this group. And that is the message tonight. We want to be found in this bunch. We do not want to be found in the verse 5 bunch that says, I am holier than thou. I'm not better than you. Just say, man, I'm serving the Lord. No matter what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. And your actions will provoke others to thought. Well, who am I following? What am I doing? And say, man, it's the Lord. Well, it's got a whole plan. He's got a whole plan. It's not just for today. It's not just for, it's for eternity. He knows. And we'll provoke them to think. And when we love people, it really makes them think. Father, thank you for your grace. We do pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, we think about all these things, Father, we're involved in just today. Father, today and then going into tomorrow, we come to you. Father, we always have to and check our spirits, Lord, no matter what has happened. And Lord, we know that you love us. We want to serve you all our days. Father, all the days you give us, those days we do not know how many they are, but you do. We pray, Father, that you would guide us, give us wisdom. And Father, we do pray for our nation tonight. We pray for safety. We pray for everybody that's working hard tonight. We ask that you would bless them. Father, those that are helping and serving our process, Lord, we just ask that you'd help them tonight. And you keep folks safe, Father. There wouldn't be violence and craziness over these things. Father, we want to make you seen and known to those around you that are without. And Father, we want to declare your name. We ask that you bless our prayer time to come. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. There's a current prayer sheet in the back. Our last quarter of missionaries there, our list for tonight, Brother Roach, Brother Fogali, Brother Rowe. Brother Fogali was in Washington here lately. I saw him in a missions conference here in Pasco. Nobody got to have spring missions conferences because church was closed. So they were doing, I said, what are they doing in fall? But that was why they just got into church. They had to have some sort of special spray thing to be allowed to meet inside. I mean, you talk about hoops, people. And he got reelected. I was like, oh, man. I thought there was a chance, you know, like early on. I was like, oh, there's just too many. And I said to myself, why can't Washington and Oregon be like Nebraska? You know, where they're set up, where it's like you got 3 electoral votes and like you get one for a region and one for these regions. You know, I was like, oh, then you'd feel like it always, to us, it felt like we were never part of the process because we were just outnumbered by people. There just didn't matter. It's just, it'd be like, you know, everybody in the state being in, you know, Anchorage and, you know, 400 people being in Houston. You know, it's like, what? Why do we even participate? We don't have a, you know, a part, but, anyhow. Praise the Lord. They're in church. Brother Fogali looked good. Brother Sturtz, couriers are just praying that they're able to carry on their campaign. I have their I should have put their 21 campaign in there updated. Brother Johnson, bearing precious seed. First Bible Mongolia is Brother Kofers Press, and then Brother Samson tonight. And then we'll just be in prayer for our missions, what we're going to do. We'll have Brother Putney in on Sunday. And when we do that, because he's our missionary, Brother Dom and Miss D want to be up and have the kids up to see him and listen to him. And then Sunday night, they've asked me if Sunday night they can do junior church Sunday night just for this week, just so they can hear about that. Yeah, I know the kids will vote yes for that. So we'll put out a little reminder for that. But he'll be by himself, but he'll be with us on Sunday. And so we'll get a good presentation on the work that's going on there in Columbia. Number of unspokens tonight, unspoken requests. Big 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. All right. Answers to prayer?
This week? There's a lot of one-call stuff this week, and so I don't ever predict that. That is what it is. Brother Don.
Okay. Good.
Piper's numbers are doing better. They put her under the light treatment. Her numbers went from, I can't remember, I think it was like 20 to 16 or 19 to 15. It seemed like 4 was the number it dropped. So they're just, hasn't had to go back in for any period of time, but the light treatment was doing good. So we praise the Lord for that. And they're so thankful for the meal train. Ladies, thank you so much for doing that. They are just super thankful for that. And we're excited to just be able to help them. It's fun watching the girls that run over there every time she squeaks or squawks or whatever, you know, and the little mamas go running over, and they're not much bigger than she is. they're like the little tiniest little things, but
our numbers are doing better. So anybody else answer a prayer? Just Ann, go ahead. Amen. Okay. Get it strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of those old school hand squeeze deals from the 80s, you know. It's got the big spring on it, you know. You never see those anymore, the spring nunchuck. Yeah, just like, Amen. Anybody else answer the prayer? New prayer request tonight? New ones? Mm-hmm. Listen.
Get some results.
Okay.
He's going to tell me probably at that time whether he's going to outside and doing it. At that time, they have to get me into the hospital. So, and whether he's going to hold a few people in the
hospital. Gotcha. You bet. Sure.
Good. Good.
We were able to have dinner with the Rabers last night, and they're the couple that was here Sunday, and they're doing it all, man. They're going to Fairbanks on the train Saturday morning, I think, going up to Fairbanks. Going to meet with Brother Duffa. They're going to Keenan and I are going to Seward and going to meet with different people. I think, man, you're going to get scoop on everybody. So hopefully all our stories match, you know. And it's, they're good folks. So I said, boy, we'll just pray for you. Stick down and pray for you. And, you know, Lord willing, get to see it. So she's expecting. I did not know that. But they're super excited about that. So that'll be the first one. And we gave them a hard time last night because they're from Pennsylvania. I said, come on, man. You gotta tell me something, you know? And I said, you guys must have voted before you left. I said, yeah, we voted a long time ago.